here today. The BMW of Des Moines guest list shapes up like this. We will start at the bottom of our number one, Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com. He will join us at 11:30, go around MLB. A fun night in baseball last night. Twins got a win. Chris Morel, big home run for the Cubbies as they come back and break up Severino's no-hitter in the eighth inning and go on to win that baseball game. So a lot of baseball conversation with Matt Snyder at 11:30. Still one of the regional teams that we did not get to yesterday when it comes to the NFL and recapping their draft, and it is the team that had the 1 and the 9 as far as picks in round number one. We'll talk to Jeff Hughes to Bears Blog. Oh, by the way, they got Torrey Taylor as well. And then we'll talk some NBA. The stage is set. We are going to see the Nuggets and the Lakers. Buckle up. That's got a chance to be terrific. Jackson Gatlin from Locked On, the Locked On Pod Network. He's their NBA or one of their NBA guys over there. He joined us a couple of weeks ago, and it was really good. So we're going to lean on him a little bit as we work our way through these NBA playoffs. You made the call last night. You thought that the Lakers would fall, but it would be close, and it couldn't got much closer than 2 points at the end of that basketball game. LeBron James and the Lakers, they are done for the season. Nuggets move on, and we get Nuggets and T-Wolves. How are you, Trent Condon?
Doing well, and we will have a conference semifinal without LeBron.
Steph? Jeez.
And KD for the first time since 2005.
Wow, it's almost 20 years. That's hard to believe. Look, we'll let the national shows talk about what's next for LeBron.
Yes.
It would make my head hurt as well as our audiences, I'm assuming, so we'll stay away from that. But look, what you got to say this about him. I mean, give the dude his flowers, right? Mm-hmm. I guess that's the expression we use now. He's so good and has been so good. And his stats last night, what do you have? I'm a rebound shy of a triple-double, I think, is where he finished up.
39 and 11.
Yeah.
And four steals.
He certainly did his part last night to keep his team in it. But Denver and Jamal Murray down the stretch hitting that big shot too much. And, oh, baby, T-Wolves and the Nuggets coming up in that series will start on Saturday night. I think it's going to...
Can they get two?
No, I was going to say, I think it's going to reverberate here. Can the T-Wolves get two?
Can they get two?
That's where you're setting the bar?
Push it to game six.
Mm-hmm. You can't beat them?
Boy. Gotta see it. They played well this season against them.
They did.
Shot towards the end of the regular season. It was just a fourth quarter where Joker was making plays. And that was my really dipping into the NBA there, like game 80.
Right. You were due.
Yep. That's when we start to get into it. But can they... Have you seen the price, the series price?
I was surprised it's as big as it is now. It's much more favorable at circa.
I haven't seen it. I am going to guess like Nuggets minus 450. T-Wolves.
No, much lower than that.
Okay.
Yeah, much lower than that. I think it's in the ones.
I would need, in order to really bet on it, to not have a homer pick, have something on, I'd probably have to have better than 3-1. I think the Nuggets are just that much better.
No, it's hard to argue, Trent. It's hard to argue your point. But Cat being back is huge.
Yes.
And Nasreed has been phenomenal all year long. And give Gobert his credit. And Anthony Edwards is an emerging, do I say super in front of the word star? Because that's where he is at this point.
Minus 190 for the Nuggets right now. It's circa plus 165 for the Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. I would need more than that to bet on the T-Wolves. In fact, I might have a Nuggets wager in there at that kind of price.
Does the winner of this series find themselves in the final?
You know, I haven't seen a ton of the Oklahoma City-New Orleans series. I just... For whatever reason, timing, other games, other things going on. I just didn't see a ton of it. It was impressive. I mean, watching highlights and watching the little bit that I did, what the Thunder do and coasting in and getting it done again last night and pulling away in the fourth quarter. I don't know, the youth. We've had these conversations before, though, with young teams. And the Thunder, a decade ago, right? Yes. Oh, they're too young.
Uh-huh.
With Durant and Westbrook and company and Harden. And no, you can't do it now. They're just too young. And then they did it.
Wouldn't it have been
finals.
Some if they were able to find a way to stay together? What would that team have looked like? What would they? How many praise would they have had? You certainly got to think that they at least get one.
You would think.
With that trio?
Mm-hmm.
if they could find a way to play together. But I'm not going to write off the Timberwolves. And again, I'm like you, right? Probably too close to it. Mm-hmm. I want this team to win. The addition of Connolly's been phenomenal. What he brings, just that veteran experience. But Cat being back in the lineup, and Jaden McDaniels is a guy that I don't think gets enough recognition. That's starting five, man.
Yes.
That's pretty legit. That is a legit five. And I like their coach. I'm not sure how much Finch is going to be able to, you know, actually do any coaching.
He'll be fine. Get him a roller like Ron Hunter had. Remember him at Georgia State?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. He was rolling around on the sideline. I give him the same thing. He'll be good to go. Alexander Walker, I love.
Mm-hmm.
Naz Reid, another big guy. They got a bunch of people they can throw a joker, right?
Well, as I was told last week in Vegas, the T will spend $500 million to come up with a joker solution on Cat, on Gobert, and on Naz Reid. That's $500 million trying to stop this dude. But he's more than just him, right? Michael Porter Jr. is a matchup nightmare at small forward. Aaron Gordon's going to get his. Murray's been unbelievable. I think it's going to be a series. I do. I think it's going to... I mean, I'd love seven. I'd sign for six as long as it goes the T-Wolves way.
Right. And that would be game six up in Minneapolis. This is, you know, it's fun to watching teams start to become really beloved. So back home this weekend, a bunch of my family from Minneapolis, a couple of my cousin's kids that are just out of college, so early 20s, and they love the Timberwolves.
Yeah. They're the closest to a champion than the other three pro teams.
Twins, it's baseball.
Yeah.
Vikings, they root for them, but it's the for that generation, and they're into it. I mean, the Timberwolves are kind of the team, the buzz team right now. Now, obviously, it goes hand-in-hand with being successful, and that definitely helps out, too, but there's a lot of buzz out there about this team, and there's a lot of belief that this is going to be the one. You know, the last time that a team from Minnesota swept a playoff series?
Nope.
It's never happened.
It
never happened.
Until Sunday night.
The Twins, the Wild.
The Twins never
swept. Stars. No. Every single time. Right? There was not a seven-game sweep that has ever happened for a Minnesota sports franchise, which is wild to think about.
Yeah, I would have thought this would have been one, and I would have bet money on the Twins.
Yeah.
You know, when back 30 years ago when they were...
Well, 87, I think it was six games against the Tigers, and then seven games against the Cardinals in the World Series. Same for World Series in 91, and the ALCS against your Blue Jays in 91 went... Was that six?
I forgot about that.
Yeah, put that in the back of your mind.
I did.
I think it went six of that one.
Probably, yeah.
And then obviously since then, there hasn't been a whole lot of success.
Nope, there hasn't been. There was a lot of years where they got knocked out in the first round.
Uh-huh.
We'll see. But I think it's going to be, I think it's going to move the needle here a little bit. Keeping in mind, I mean, I'm not saying it's going to, if we were a metered city, I think we'll see an uptick on this series.
That's
fair. I do.
Yep.
I'm not saying it's going to be, you know, like Caitlin Clark-esque.
Right. Like, say normally an NBA playoffs game gets a three share in our market.
Yeah, probably be a 3-4.
Right.
Like
it's an uptick, though.
It's an uptick.
Yes.
And obviously with a chance to build. And I think that the folks that were comparing this team to the Young Bulls team, I can't go Anthony Edwards MJ yet, right? It's a little premature.
Well, when I heard Michael Wilbon, who is a Chicago true.
Yes, he is.
Throughout those comps, and I have never heard him be like that in comparison to Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And when he throws that out, that was a wow moment for
me. There's only one of him. But I do like the team to team because you had to grow. You had to go through these growing pains. We kind of thought a couple of years ago they were going through it when Memphis got him, remember?
Yes.
That you have to do these necessary learning experiences before you're ready to take on a long playoff run. Now, that never materialized. Here they are again. But look, the Bulls had to get through the Celtics. Then they had to find a way to get past the Pistons, and then they went on with it.
They did.
And we will see if this is what this Timberwolves team is able to do. But I'm all in. Saturday night it begins, and I know where I'll be, and that's probably at the expense of a Stanley Cup playoff game, but I want to watch this. I do.
And normally, early playoffs, we're starting to just kind of dip our toe in.
Right.
This is something that we can regionalize at the very least, and we normally be talking baseball, and we'll get to baseball and the Cubs last night.
That was fun.
No hit for a long time.
Severino was unbelievable. Boy, that game flew, Trent.
What was the, did you see the final time?
No, I didn't. That's a
205.
Is that what it was?
205.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
crazy. I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
They were in the sixth inning. It was like 10 after 7.
Right. Get the early start of the hour out there, and away we go. Watch that. Had a little Twins as they get it done in the ninth inning with Buxton.
You must have had a good day with your picks yesterday.
We had a profitable one. What was the final wager? The Golden Knights didn't get home.
Nope.
That's a series all of a sudden, and you were concerned because you had no Golden Knights money.
And I had no Tampa Bay money. Bye-bye.
just 4-3 yesterday.
That's all you were.
Yeah. Lost the Phillies, Golden Knights, and I had the Pelicans last night, which going into the fourth quarter, felt pretty good about it. Went the other way. But overall, profitable night. We'll take those. You stack them up. You got a pretty big profit at the end of
What does Porzingis' injury do for the Celtics? Does that now open up the East in your mind? Should we be paying more attention to the Knicks?
They're just so gritty. They are a perfect team. We talked about yesterday MSG and in spring and how cool it is. But with Brunson, the way he just embodies it.
And you said they got him for nothing?
Yeah, that's basically what it was. I mean, Dallas didn't, I think, want to spend the money that it was going to take.
That's crazy.
Now, there's also his agent, the connection with the front office with the Knicks, and there was kind of some other things, I think, that went on along with it. But to have a guy that, look, Brunson's not your prototypical star, that's just uber athlete, you know, crazy shot. No, he's just tough and knows how to play the game, and he's perfect for New York, right?
Trent, I can't help you. I don't think I've watched the Knicks since Patrick Ewing.
You're probably not alone.
I guess I'm not.
Right?
Because they stunk for so long. Mm-hmm. The Nuggets story was Charles Oakley getting kicked out of it and fighting with the owner of Madison Square Garden. That's the only Knicks story that appeared on my radar over the last 20 years. But, I mean, I'm glad they're back, I guess. There's got to be still some fans out there.
Yeah, they're definitely.
I mean, locally here.
Yes. Speaking of not having success, 72, their last championship.
God. That's unbelievable.
The New York Knicks.
Right.
That's absolutely crazy to think about. All right, to win the East, Celtics still the betting favorite, minus 245. Who would interest you out of these remaining teams? The Knicks are plus 370 at circa. Doesn't seem like enough.
Yeah.
I can't get there with that one. Your next betting choice is the Pacers, as they're a game away from advancing at plus 1075. No, not quite. And then you're getting into a bunch of long shots. The Cavs are 21-1, 45-1 for the Magic. Heat are 500-1. I don't think they're coming back against the Celtics.
Yeah, no, the answer is no.
80-1 for the Bucks. Sixers 35-1. It's the same kind of thing.
I can't do it.
No.
I can't do it. Maybe the Pacers. I mean, I would obviously like to see the Pacers.
Yes.
Because how can you not root for Tyrese Halliburton? Mm-hmm. You know, you're, you know, a card-carrying member of Hawkeye Nation, not you. I'm talking about the audience. Uh-huh. I mean, he's such a good dude.
Yes.
He really is.
Easy to root for.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely easy to root for. And a hell of a player. Smile on his face. Skipping up and down the court. You know, just having fun out there. Just, he knows he's playing a kid's game, a child's game, and getting incredibly well compensated for doing so. And easy to root for in him. So I'm not sure if you spent much time, the article that came out. Are we closer to athletes being paid by the schools today than we were maybe on Friday? Does it seem like there's been some movement? Both Dennis Dodd and Ross Dellinger, Yahoo for Dellinger, Dodd at CBSSports.com, bringing the revenue sharing in-house, if you will, with allotting a pool of $20 million. But I keep coming back to the one fundamental flaw that's part of any system. So you got $20 million. How do you divide it up?
Right. Yeah.
You got to take 10 and give it to the ladies. Don't you?
And this is where we get to that talking point of football.
Rules all.
Breaking off.
Exactly.
Becoming. Yes, it's the Iowa State Cyclones.
Yeah, and it's 85 as opposed to whatever.
It's the Iowa Hawkeyes, but it is a sponsorship deal. Mm-hmm. They're not students.
No.
It is a separate entity. You want to go to school, you can.
Mm-hmm.
But that's on your own dime, or you figure something out there. You are just using it and marketing it as something that is a completely different entity than the athletic department. And that is the way that you get around it, so...
Can you get around it, though? I mean, it's on the surface, Trent. I absolutely agree with you.
I think you can.
You can.
I think lawyers, there's going to be a lot of billable hours to make it happen. But for people that have a deeper knowledge base of this, they continue to bring this up.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's something that absolutely not only can happen, but probably needs to happen ultimately for the sport and for athletic departments as a whole.
So of that $20 million, how much in your mind gets earmarked to football? Do you take half of it
15?
To football? You take 15 of the 20?
Yeah.
And you leave the $5 million for men's basketball, women's basketball, and the other non-revenue sports?
Mm-hmm. And you can still get real NIL deals. Mm-hmm. You can still get name, image, and likeness is the way mm-hmm. that we initially thought it was going to be and didn't turn into this pay-for-play. Mm-hmm. But yeah, with the separation of that and doing it that way.
So this doesn't put NIL out of business in your mind?
No, not at all.
Uh-huh.
No, it's...
So Bloom still has a job.
He does,
yeah.
But is it going to be part of the athletic department
mm.
as opposed to a separate entity? I think that's likely. Everything's mm-hmm. ultimately going to come in-house. Mm-hmm. That's where we're going to get.
You know what? Let's reach out to him. I'll see if we can get him tomorrow or Thursday on this very topic. I'll text him during the break because I want to know more about it. Obviously, that's his world, and I'm sure he's up to speed on it. But how do you get around Title IX? Can you get around Title IX? Can football break off? What does that look like if indeed that happens? Something has to be done. I mean, there needs to be some guidelines, some guide rails, you know, just something.
And not the goofy guardrails that actually aren't guardrails that they continue to shout about that aren't real and aren't positive. But there's a lot going on in college athletics.
No, there truly is.
The evolution that we're going through now is as big as anything that we've seen in either
Trent,
of our lifetimes.
I mentioned it yesterday. I saw the Big Ten. You know, like on the, you know, open up your paper and you're looking at the standings
mm-hmm.
and they had all the teams. It's like, oh my God, that you have to, I mean, it starts way up here and you just keep going and going and you got to get through 18 teams. It just kind of jolts you into reality what college sports is about to look like when we resume here in August with football, ready or not.
12-team playoff is coming for the next 2 years.
And then what?
Already, we have problems. And one of the problems, as a bunch of the people for the college football playoff met with administrators last weekend, was, oh man, we're going to have rematches.
Yeah.
You think?
Really?
When your conferences balloon to the level that they are, yes, you're going to have rematches. When you're creating a structure...
We already have rematches.
Right, where you're going to have two power conferences. Yes, there are going to be rematches in the playoff. That's the way that it works. That's the way this goes. And they're already crying and already bitching and complaining about one spot that's going to the group of five. This is antitrust issues. Think deeper. Think of the absolute boon that you've had financially with this system because you haven't had to pay the players.
Nope.
And on top of it, you've been able to keep it at
free
a major,
labor.
In a major conference structure, everybody keeps the money. And sorry, little guy, you get peanuts
right.
compared to everybody else. And now they're complaining that, oh, I'm sorry, that 9-3 SEC team, you're going to be left out.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Tulane.
So we can get to... No, Tulane deserves a spot.
I agree.
If you're going to have the structure, and if you're not going to break off, then this needs to happen. Mm-hmm. I cannot, for the life of me, understand. And it very well could happen that Iowa State is the one left out. They're team number 12. But sorry, we got to put a group of five champion in there. So be it. That's the structure that you have to have.
And knew those rules before we were at week one.
If you have,
so it doesn't sneak up on anybody.
You can't have 132 teams and only 40 of them have a chance of actually winning it when you have this kind of expanded playoff. This is a good thing for the sport. It keeps more people involved. I think there's things to be done, as we talked about a week ago, in order to make who that team's going to be. But that aside, rematches and all the angst and the hand-wringing that I saw. Oh, yeah, we would have had an Ohio State-Penn State rematch a couple weeks ago. You're mad about that?
Right.
You're upset? There was one year that Ole Miss and Mississippi State would have been the 8-9 game, and we get a rematch 2.5 weeks later. Great!
Yeah.
The Egg Bowl is nuts! And
didn't
now we get a
didn't
playoff?
We see Georgia-Alabama twice in a month?
Just some of the things that come out, and these administrators, and they just can't get out of their own way, and they can't stand up to the Rose Bowl, because God forbid that we actually have a football game that doesn't have a sunset at the right time. It just these things drive me absolutely crazy with a sport that I absolutely love, and they don't have anybody in
charge. Still have your parade on New Year's Day.
Oh, my God.
You can still have your hoity-toity meetings where you get together and you name whatever, the head of the Rose Bowl parade. Well, you saw it when you were out there. I was blown. Now, I will say this. It's an endeavor.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of work that goes in with all this. I mean, I had no idea how many bleachers line the street. I guess I've never watched the parade. I don't know. It was always on at the house when I was a kid. Ladies loved it. Grandma and Mom are
Oh, yeah.
Big parade people. Big parade people. Speaking of UCLA, You're seriously entertaining going to the UCLA-Iowa game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what would you do?
Well, my thought is go out a couple days early, go to Vegas, you know, get some work done.
Circle work done.
Yes, yeah. Meet with a few people, shake some hands, do all the fun stuff.
So be out there for Thursday night football that week?
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe even head out Wednesday, a couple of days, and then, say, Friday afternoon, then
you head over to?
So I looked at cars. Well, I'm going to fly out. I'm not going to fly back, drive back to Vegas to fly out of there on Sunday after a full day of tailgating and watching football.
Yeah, no, that's the lead, Mark.
That would not be fun.
Right.
So then I said,
well, although the traffic wouldn't be bad because everybody's going back to right. L.A. from Vegas.
Just be waving at everybody making their right. the way back. Traffic wouldn't be bad, but just didn't sound real fun.
Yeah.
You're probably getting up way early to get a flight even.
Because it's all of 5 hours, Trent.
Yeah, that sounds brutal.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, fly out of L.A. How am I going to get there? Well, if you get a car rental and drop it off at another location.
Yeah, one-way car rentals are through the roof.
Yeah, it's incredibly pricey.
Yep.
It's not worth it. You're talking couple hundred, 250, 300 bucks just to get a car to do that.
Yep.
Well, how about take the bus? $45. $44.95.
I got a better idea for you.
Okay.
What? Screw the bus.
Okay.
The bus. Why don't you spend $99 and jump on a plane? I'm flying to Burbank.
Oh. Yeah, that's pretty good too.
Right?
Yeah, those flights are pretty cheap, right?
They're really cheap, and then they fly every hour.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably a better call.
Uh-huh.
Spend the extra
$50.
Fly
Southwest so you don't have to check any luggage or anything or pay any baggage fees.
Now, I like what you're thinking. Thank you for helping me out.
Yeah.
Because
hang on, it might be helping us, though, because if you're going, I'm kind of thinking.
You're going to come out, too? You going to go to the game?
No. No, I can't.
You going to tailgate with me?
No, I'm going to come home on Friday.
Oh,
yeah,
come on.
You get on the plane. No, I'm coming home. I want to watch. I was safe playing that day. I'm watching it.
Well, they have TVs in Los Angeles
I know,
as well.
I know. I'd like to be home and be. I don't like to cheat on one of the schools.
You're not cheating on them.
I get it.
You went to Vegas.
I did.
To watch Iowa State.
Yep.
And so what did I do? You owe the Hawkeyes one.
I sat at the win and everyone went to the game. I sat at the win and drank beer.
You owe one. You've never tailgated with me before. This is an opportunity to do it in November.
I can't remember the last time I tailgated, period.
Let's make this happen. Come on, you're getting up there. We're running out of days together.
Yeah, no, are we?
Well, I hope for at least another half decade out of you. Yeah. But, you know, we're coming down to the back stretch here.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
How many opportunities are you going to have to tailgate at the Rose Bowl with your man, TC? Come on.
You know what? And I was blown away by the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
I was blown away by the Rose Bowl.
Now, this will be a different environment.
You think?
It'll be a lot of Iowa fans again.
There would be. There will be.
Won't be nearly as much Cardinal as there was with all the Stanford fans. Ooh. Don't think you're going to see a whole lot of baby blue in the stands for UCLA.
No, they're going to be bad
this year, too.
That'd be a really special trip, Trent.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun. You got to fly. Stay off the bus, Gus.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Make a new plan, Stan.
Yeah.
Get on the plane. Get over there. Fly into Burbank. You're not far from where you want to stay from the Rose Bowl. Pasadena.
Yep. It's an idea.
And it's November the 9th?
That's the game, yeah.
So Saturday. Thursday would be the 7th for Thursday night football.
We'll
find out that schedule when it comes out. We get that, I think, a week from tomorrow. We're 2 weeks from tomorrow. The NFL schedule comes out. There's no problem getting a ticket. For sure, there's no problem getting in the door at the UCLA game. And you're right, there will be a lot of black and gold in the stands, be a lot of Hawk fans in the stands. Yeah, sounds like a plan. Sounds like a lot of fun. Sounds like a lot of fun. Now, tailgating. So you tailgated before the Stanford game?
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. We were out, I don't know, some corner pot. We had a couple of spots. So one of my buddies was like first in line at 4 a.m.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And got in there and right, the Rose Bowl sign.
Yep.
We were like 8 spots away from that. That's how close we were to there. And then we had another group of our buddies, our tailgate friends that were in another lot, kind of a little bit, I don't know, it's about a 10-minute walk to get over there. Beautiful around there. So walked around, saw everything, drank a lot of beers, drank a lot more beers inside the stadium, trying to forget what was happening during the first half of that game. But yeah, the tailgating was fun. People all over. Just the celebration of that season of the Hawkeyes finally back in the Rose Bowl.
And the fact that you're at the Rose Bowl. It just means something more.
And maybe the only time you actually get to see Iowa win a game in the Rose Bowl.
Well, they should this year, right?
Yes.
I mean, because as you mentioned, UCLA is going to be bad again this year. One would anticipate.
1 through 18, they're going to be in the teens somewhere.
Yep.
They might be 18.
Where will Iowa be? 6-7?
Yeah, probably
8,
right in that
somewhere
range.
Somewhere in there, middle of maybe toward, above the middle of it.
Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan, Penn State,
Wash.
They lost everybody.
I know, but they put a lot of guys in the pros.
They did. That's why I said.
I know they lost everybody, but they're still Washington.
I don't even know if Washington will be picked in the top 10.
You really don't?
Where do they return? Two starters on each side of the football?
They lost their coach. Yeah, okay. I'll give you a sneaky one. You're not ready for it.
Sneaky team, yep. Big Ten this year.
Yep, you're not ready for it.
Purdue?
No.
That's Bama Bobstein.
That's right.
Rutgers?
No.
Sneaky house.
You're going the wrong way directionally.
USC?
Too far.
Oh, geez.
I'm telling you.
Husker Ken is back.
Rayola, baby. I'm all in.
I've been hearing it for 30 years now. Jeez. Huskers are back, huh?
I don't think they're not back, but they're going to postseason. Well, the bar's not set real high.
It's not. I don't think that's a stretch.
I think they should, right?
I'm
a Matt Rhule guy. I think they got the right guy over there. They're never going to be. Who knows what? You can't be what you were in the 80s and 90s.
No.
There's been too many changes.
Right. Football is a complete, uh-huh. College football is a different game. Yeah. The way they recruit and everything else. Well, speaking of your...
My Huskers?
Your Huskers.
Okay. I just want to talk to Sip in December. How many years it's been?
Outside of a recap.
Right.
Well, that was crappy, huh, Sip? Yeah. Over-under wins for the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
It is 6.5.
It's 7.5.
Is it?
The under -164, the over +134.
I wouldn't go over.
Yeah, that'd be 8-4 better.
Yeah.
But can they get to 7-5? I think they can. Yeah, if it was 6.5, I would probably take the over. I think they're a bowl team. I'm with you there, mm-hmm. on that front. Well, while we have them up, let's see updated numbers. Haven't clicked on these for a while. Iowa 7.5, but the juice now on the over is heavily weighted.
Is it?
-158.
And you know what? They had to adjust that very quickly, mm-hmm. I think, because they had to be getting hammered.
Yes, absolutely. Speaking of UCLA.
What? How bad is it? 3.5?
It's 5.5.
Really?
I'm going to lock it up. And the under... +116.
We better get the break so we can get in.
Absolutely. UCLA. That team's not winning 6 games this year. What are they, nuts? Well, we have to do it, of course.
Okay, so Ohio State is what?
The Buckeyes. Ohio State is 10.5 over -150, though. You got to lay some big juice on that one.
Okay, who else? What about Michigan? 10?
Michigan Wolverines. Let's find Michigan 9.5.
Okay, makes sense.
Over juiced at +152, though, mm-hmm. if you think they're going 10-2 in the
Give me season. Washington.
The Huskies. Your Huskies.
No, mine not. My Huskers.
7.5, the number for Washington. Okay. Over +116. Mm-hmm. You think they're going to be good? There you go. 8-4 better.
Mini?
Gophers are Minnesota. There they are. 4.5.
Yeesh.
Woo. Not a lot of love for Phil Fleck.
Not a lot of love for Philip Fleck.
And Iowa State, let's throw them in there. They are 7.5. How about this? The over, +116.
Hmm.
Under -140.
Utah is what? Are they 10? 9.5?
9.5.
Yeah. Anybody more than that?
I don't believe. I have to click on each one individually.
Oh, you do?
So K-State would be another
K-State
one.
K-State would be the one.
They're 9.5.
Okay.
BYU, 4.5. No. Arizona, 7.5. So, yeah, those are your top two at 9.5. With K-State and Utah.
Who are we missing in the big... How about Kansas?
Jayhawks.
Kansas will be more. Kansas will be 8.
8.5.
8.5.
8.5. And pretty even money on the juice on both of those. Colorado? 5.5.
Is it really?
Deion, can you be bowl eligible? He's got a quarterback.
He does for another year. Anyways, we're late getting to Matt Snyder. We're also late giving you an opportunity to win $1,000 in bonus bucks. Win at KXNO.com. Your chance to win at KXNO.com. The keyword, win. More opportunities coming up in the next hour and then throughout the afternoon with Murph and Andy and The Drive with Heather and Sean. Miller and Condon underway on a Tuesday. You're listening to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Let's talk some Major League Baseball, shall we? We normally do this on Monday, but with the draft, Matt Snyder good enough to move to Tuesday for us for this week. Be back Monday at 12:05 going forward. Hello, how are you, Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com? How's things?
Very good. You know, it's I'm very excited about the Pacers right now. Felt like the Bears had a good draft. The Cubs are going well. I'm pretty happy with sports right now.
It's good to be you as far as your sports fandom. That's very true. You know where I want to start with you? I want to go to, and this surprised the hell out of me, the second best record in all of baseball, best record in the American League. Give you three guesses. Most people would not get the Cleveland Guardians. And that's exactly what they're doing. I don't know how, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, without Bieber, can they keep it up? But I want to talk about their manager, Stephen Vogt, who is, you know, former player. I think his final at-bat is an Oakland A, or final at bat in the majors. He put it over the fence. The place went bananas. All 1,000 people that were there, admittedly. But what a job he has done. Is this just one of these guys that was cut out to go from, you know, from a player and remain in the dugout, but just take on the managerial role?
Yeah, it really seems like it. I mean, we probably need to give it a lot more time.
Sure.
But he definitely is. Yeah, so far he's been great. I thought that it was going to be noticeable early on with no Terry Francona, and by no means is this any kind of an indictment on Francona, but man, they haven't missed a beat at all. He's done an exceptional job. Offensively, you wouldn't have thought that this start of theirs would be driven by offense. You know, given the makeup of the team and what we're used to seeing from the Guardians, you would have thought, oh, it's all pitching, but the offense has been unbelievable. Josh Naylor got out to a huge start. He hasn't been that good in the last week plus, but Stephen Kwan has been great. And then it's just been balanced from there. And not that many home runs either. Just a lot of singles, a lot of guys getting on base, you know, stolen bases. They lead the American League in stolen bases. They've just been a really well-rounded offense.
Are they this year's Pirates from last year? Do you think they could be, or are they better?
I actually, in last week's power rankings, I actually straight up said that.
Did you really?
For me, this year's Pirates, yeah.
Maybe that's where I got it, because I read your stuff.
I don't think that they can maintain this, especially in the rotation.
Yeah.
With Bieber out for the season, McKenzie's had velocity issues and walk issues. I can't see Carrasco really holding up long term in this season. I just don't think they have enough in the rotation. So, then again, we'll see. We thought it might be a weak division, but of course, right now everybody except the White Sox are over 500. So it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out. But yeah, I don't think that they're going to maintain this kind of pace. No,
Guardians do have the best run differential in the American League. Second, the Kansas City Royals. Now they've lost three in a row, but the Royals, is it them starting to come back to the pack a little bit here? Another one-run loss to the Blue Jays last night. Is that what we're seeing here? How about Kansas City and their sustainability to stay in it throughout the course of the year?
Yeah, it's similar to the Guardians there. I just don't know about the staying power. And, I mean, they're 6-1 against the White Sox alone.
Yeah.
So they're, under 500 when they don't play the White Sox. They also swept the Astros, who have been brutal for most of the season. So they're 9-1 against the Astros and White Sox. Not very good against anybody else. So, yeah, I don't – they have interesting pieces there. Like, obviously, Bobby Witt's amazing.
Yeah.
Salvador Perez, the ageless wonder. Mm-hmm. 346 right now. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and obviously the rotation, Cole Reagans, there's a lot to like there. Brady Singer looked good. Seth Lugo's been unbelievable. But no, I don't think that they're that good either. I still think there's a very decent chance that it's just going to be the Twins winning the division. And then, I mean, maybe nobody else even makes the playoffs. But the Guardians did set themselves up really, really well to be 10 games over 500 right now, because if they just played 500 ball the rest of the way, that's 86-76. That might be good enough for a wild card.
Yeah, could be. I want a selfish one for you. When you talk to people that cover Major League Baseball, has anybody come up with a theory as to what the hell happened to Vladimir Guerrero? He's better than this. Why is he so bad, both defensively and... I mean, you could forgive his shortcomings at first base because, you know, he's got that badness and is liable to leave the park. that's not the case anymore. What's gone wrong here?
I don't know. I have no answer at all. The only thing I would offer up maybe is maybe 2021 was just an anomaly and he's not going to be that good. And if we removed that season and we were more expecting him to just be as good as he was in 2022 every year, which was still a pretty good season, you know, 274 with a 480 slugging, 32 homers, 97 RBI. If we were just expecting him to be more like that, yeah, right now it's still he's still well below that. But maybe it wouldn't be quite as jaw-dropping if we never saw 2021 or we didn't know all about his dad. You know, the being Vlad Guerrero Jr. and having the 2021 season might have thrown expectations up into the stratosphere, and maybe he was just never going to be that great.
Want to go to the Astros. Now, could this be the story? They go down to Mexico City for a couple of games, win a couple of games against the awful Rockies, but this is something that... Hey, a trip together, we're going outside the country. We get this story all of a sudden in June. This was the turning point in the season that had turned it around. Now getting Framber back, that's going to help too, and guys like that, and getting healthier. But could you see something like that, or are you more concerned maybe this Astros team after, what is it, seven straight ALCSs, that they're cooked?
I think it's probably much more likely to be the former, that they were just going to get it going already. And you look at Justin Verlander just came back. Framber Valdez is back now. Christian Javier shouldn't be that much longer before he comes back. And Renell Blanco, what a find he's been in the rotation. So the rotation should be in good shape moving forward. Then if you look at the bullpen, Presley and Hader were just atrocious for the first month of the season. They can't possibly continue to be that bad. So I really think that the pitching is going to start getting it going. And offensively, like, they lead the American League in batting average, second on base, second slug, second in OPS, but they're ninth in runs scored. So they're just not getting any situational hitting. And that's not anything that necessarily will continue to happen. It's not a predictive type. You know, if you look at, like, runners in scoring position, two out, close and late, that's not predictive in that if they've been batted it so far, it doesn't mean they're going to keep being bad. In all likelihood, that just kind of evens out. So I think that the pitching is going to come around and the offense is probably fine, and they just haven't gotten big hits at the right times for the most part, and so it's probably fine as well. I mean, if you look still at the lineup, Bregman is not hitting at all, but you would expect that he would. He's 30. He's not 35. The only one who really you can say he's probably done is Jose Abreu, and in all likelihood, and we probably thought that last year. But if you look around, Altuve is great right now, exceptional, actually, and there's no reason to think that Kyle Tucker and Yordan Alvarez won't get a bit hotter, and Bregman will probably get scorching hot here at some place sometime soon. So I think that they're going to turn it around and still be a playoff team.
I want to ask about Craig Counsell's Chicago Cubs. No steal. Hendricks is a addition by subtraction. Hate to say it at this point. I hope he proves me wrong and comes back. Bellinger's out. Suzuki is out. Those are two huge bats in that lineup. But yet they get the job done again last night. But where I want to go with you is Michael Busch, who I had no idea about this dude. Coming over from L.A. Where he wasn't going to find a place to play or many at-bats. He's been terrific. What were the expectations, I guess, for him? Fill in at first base, hope maybe you can get a little bit more out of him? Or what did they, when they acquired him, what was best case scenario? It's got to be this, right?
Probably this, yeah. I mean, he's struggled a little bit since that the home run streak where he hit home runs in five games in a row, but still 17 RBIs right now in 27 games. I think the expectation was throw him in the five or six hole and hope that he's productive. With a chance at everyday playing time, which obviously, as you said, he was never going to get in L.A. behind Freddie Freeman. And if it didn't work, then you could probably play Cody Bellinger at first base when PCA came up to play center. Once Bellinger comes back, if PCA keeps hitting capably like he has been so far, they're going to have a nice problem to have, because now where do you go with it? Maybe by then Talkman has come back to earth and they figure out something there, but you can't say enough or how much Talkman and Bush have stepped up in lieu of the Suzuki and Bellinger injuries. When you lose Suzuki and Bellinger for weeks at a time, you have to think, man, the offense is really going to struggle. And it kind of has the last 3 days. But Talkman hit that big three-run home run on Sunday night to make it a game. And then last night, Talkman with the double. Morel who that's someone they really need to step up with Sellinger and Suzuki hurt. See him get that home run. Maybe he'll get off the schneid now. But yeah, it's Bush has been really, really good so far. And if he can keep it up, he's going to have 100 RBI season in his rookie year.
That's unreal.
Madrigal, Mervis, you know, just not, they're fine. No. But there's opportunity, let's just say that, for some of the young guys that we continue to hit. Oh, there's an opportunity for this team, this roster, with what they have on the farm right now, just to get better and then solidify things even more in July. What I'm getting to, can this team be a real contender to unseat both the Braves and the Dodgers this year in the National League?
Yeah, I think so. I still obviously have to see how everything shakes out at the trade deadline, and, you know, it's way down the line, but I could see arguments that Braves and Dodgers are head and shoulders above everybody else, and then the Phillies would be right there in the mix. But I could see arguments that the Cubs would be right in that mix, too, and would be not that far behind the Phillies, especially if they keep playing like this when they're missing their ace and their two- and three-hole hitters. I mean, there aren't many teams who could keep playing well in light of having those guys go down. Hoyer definitely needs to shore up the bullpen in front of the deadline. Now, some of that, when you get a full starting rotation back, maybe that helps the bullpen just in terms of the depth. And Julian Merriweather, when he comes back, maybe that's going to help. But I do think that Hoyer's going to need to make a bullpen move or two in July. But other than that, I think they've pretty much got everything in-house. I don't know how much more they need to get. They need to get healthier. There's opportunities right now for Canario and Mervis. I don't know. This might be Mervis's last chance.
Yep, I agree.
But it's, you know, they've got depth everywhere except the bullpen. They just need to get better in the bullpen.
Last thing for me, we're 30 games into it. It seems to me like you could go out on a limb and say, you know, Atlanta's going to win the East, Cubs are going to win the Central, Dodgers are going to win the West. Okay, that's fine. But then in the American League, might we see a different team winning this division than the three that are on top going into May, Orioles, Guardians, and Seattle? Of those three, how many are still? Yeah, okay.
I still like the Orioles. Yankees are head to head, are right next to the Orioles, but I still would take the Orioles in the East. I haven't seen anything that would change my mind on that. They're going to get better with Bradish coming off the injured list. John Means soon will come off the injured list. They have a lot of prospect depth that they can deal in front of the deadline too, if they should so choose, because they have so many good prospects. They don't have any place to play them all. In the Central, I mean, it's anybody's guess. Like I said, I would probably just go back to the Twins.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Because I had them in the preseason, and they're only four games out. But you can make an argument for any of the four non-White Sox teams, really. In the West, Rangers.
Probably.
Only a game out. They're going to have something to say to the Mariners there. And I still think the Astros, 6.5 is not too tall of a hill to climb for them. So it could be Astros, it could be Mariners, it could be Rangers. I think it's going to be a fun race, and it might be three teams eventually.
Last thing for you on the National League. Looking through here, you got the Mets and the Nats. They're both at 500. Of course, the Phillies and the Braves. Cubs, Brewers, Reds. Where I'm going, what team under 500 in the National League right now is going to make the playoffs? Is there any team that you got a little bit of hope for?
Yes.
Ken's got one. What about you?
I've got two.
Oh, you got two. Matt Snyder, what do you have for us?
I'm going to guess you're looking out west.
I am. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Padres are not inspiring confidence right now. Mm-hmm. I think I'll say Diamondbacks, because as long as Gallen's hamstring injury isn't serious and they get back Eduardo Rodriguez at some point, I like their rotation and their offense should be better. Unless Corbin Carroll is this bad because his shoulder is really badly hurt or something. But the expectation is that he's going to look like Carroll of last year at some point relatively soon. And 13-17, that's not too bad. So I'll go Arizona.
I'm with you. Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com.
Merrill Kelly's injury, shoulder, makes me a little nervous.
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm. We shall see. We will talk to you on Monday, Matt Snyder. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it, brother. Right. Have a good week.
Sure thing. Take care.
Good to talk to you. Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com, as we take our weekly look with our Major League Baseball guys, CBSSports.com. What are the do you have your gambling app open? Of course you do.
What kind of question is that?
What are the Astros to win the West as far out as they are?
I see where
they're absolutely last. They're 9-19. They're only 6.5 out, but they're the Astros.
They're the Astros, and they do it every single year.
Uh-huh. And I think the Angels are going to be obviously the A's of the A's, so they're going to be better than the prognosticators thought. What are the Astros?
Astros 3-1? You cannot. You can get plus 255.
And they're last place.
They're 9-19.
And they're 9-19, and that's all you can get is 5-2.
Your betting favorites are the Rangers of the Mariners at plus 160. Hmm. A's aren't bad, huh?
They're not bad.
They're not bad.
They're not bad. I'm
no,
glad
they still probably lose 90 plus games.
Yeah, but what was their total? 58 or something like that? Ridiculous. They're going to blow by that.
Your betting favorite to win the American League Central
is the Twins.
It's the Guardians.
Is it?
Plus 160, Twins second choice, 205. Royals plus 485, and the Tigers plus 430. A White Sox, you can get them at 310-1.
They have the worst record in baseball.
And in the National League Central, the betting favorite is the Cubs. No surprise there, plus 155.
And the Cubs and the Brewers, they see each other. Don't they start next week? I saw they put up the marquee calendar. They play each other next week.
Coming up?
Yeah, it'll be fun series. All right, we'll take a break, come back, finish hour number one. We're going to move around. We got one more regional team NFL-wise to talk about. We'll do so with Jeff Hughes from the Bears blog. Good talk some NBA at the bottom of hour number two. Another bonus bucks opportunity. That's still to come. Miller and Condon are on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Toward the end of the week, for those of you wondering, since we do it every year, when it comes to the first Saturday in May, mm-hmm. we will do a little derby conversation. Try and get Justin Luch on one day, the owner of Catching Freedom, along with the All Boss Stable, and maybe Dick Girardi, who covered the Derby for years and years and years. I spent the last couple of nights just diving in. Oh, I love this time. I love that day of betting.
You got a horse or two that are going to be your keys already?
I am loaded for bear. I can't wait to let everybody know how we're going to make money this weekend.
Can you do something on the Oaks for me Friday? I mean, I got to get started. No, you just don't do the Oaks. No. That always surprises me.
No, I just concentrate on Saturday. I love it's my favorite betting day of the entire year. The elastic band's coming off the bankroll, baby. Yeah, I got a 30-1 horse. I think's got a legitimate chance. So we'll save that one for the end of the week. But we will do some derby talk before now and then.
Post positions,
they're set. We did that on Saturday, and. Okay. Lucha's horse, Catching Freedom, is well drawn. I think number four, so he's in a good spot.
Not in the inside.
Nope, not in the one, not in the 20.
Yeah, right.
The ironic, and it's just, there's nothing to this. Number 17 has never won the Kentucky Derby. Never.
Really?
I mean, Secretariat could have been in the 17. But the favorite's in 17 this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and a lot of people love him. His name is Fierceness. I will be betting against him because you can't bet the favorite in the Kentucky Derby.
You have taught me that throughout the years.
Yeah, it's his best betting race of the year. You can, and huge prices. So I know the Prairie Meadows will have it if you're looking for a place to watch and wager, and there will be hundreds, thousands of people out there in Altoona. Race goes off at about just before 6 o'clock our time. And you can bet at any time, and you don't have to stay and watch the race here. There, you can go back and cash your ticket should you be successful, and we're going to try and put you on that path at some point.
And more of the big sports books are also starting to partake.
They are.
DraftKings, FanDuel, opportunities on those kind of places to also bet on horses. Is that a good thing for horse racing, Devin?
I think.
Yeah.
I think the big thing was is it's the same as they call it wallet. So you'd have to open up a horse account. You can use your sports betting account. Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, you couldn't bet on horses with your sports betting account. Now the two have merged and made it easier to do so. Anyways, that will be coming up toward the end of the week. We'll do the Bears. We'll do the NBA in hour number two. Another bonus bucks opportunity and Trent's plays of the day. More bonus bucks if you've been listening to Trent over 2024. That's next. Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO.